You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
I feel like we have to do something different, like... No?
Oh, yeah. You need some sound effects this time?
Yeah, like, I need... We really should have looked for a Swiss Beats soundboard. Like, we really, really messed up. Because only Biz Suite showing what you're dealing with could accurately introduce us. But hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to not another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. Now, I know I've said that before, but this is the, Doc, this is the 200th episode. Good God.
Ooh, 200.
Party over, oops, out of time. No? Okay.
That reference might be a little too old for... No, I'm just kidding. Not for this audience. We're good.
Not for this audience. I don't think so. It's amazing to me. I'm seeing, like, you know, in this surgence of podcasts, people are like episode 32, 20, 15. Like, dog, like,
we're... Just youngins. They don't even know. They don't even know what they don't even know.
Man, they're barely old enough to vote. They can't get in the club. They can't buy liquor. Remember those bars?
Where you, like, could get in at 18, but
yeah, like, your rims is old enough to vote, dog, but they can't get in the club.
I think you're just setting everybody up. You're gonna skip past this whole late 90s resurgence that's about to happen, and you're just gonna go right into 2002, 2003. Mommy, I'm a Thug in the Club. Like, you're going right there. Actually, that's the title of your next album, Mommy, I'm a Thug in the Club.
Listen, if you still call girls Ma,
the subtitle is bandanas, Tim's, and paper towels. So
Burberry print.
That's right, Burberry print, paper towels.
Crazy.
So what's going on, man? Episode 200.
Episode 200, man. Like, it's crazy. I was really thinking about episode 200 all week, just sort of reflecting back on how far we've come as a podcast. How far we've come as a people.
No, but seriously, let's get real serious over here.
We've grown a lot. Just, we've had some crazy, crazy episodes, you know, this is a lot. It's crazy. This has really been a part of our lives for the last, what, 4 years?
Yeah.
Crazy. I don't know. A couple people asked, like, how the show started. And I think we've talked about this before, right?
Right. I think I talked about it a little bit on Sunday Old School, right?
You did. I mean, even our relationship before then, yada, yada, soul, mixtapes, stuff, blah, 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 engineer, production, FTPs, all that other stuff. But
people have heard the story.
Yeah, they've heard the story. So, yeah, it, you know, just find one of the episodes. Just listen to all 200, the previous 199. I'm sure that the story will pop back up. But yeah, man, I guess, like, do we have a topic for today?
We got a couple things we're talking about, but before we do that,
begrudgingly,
before we do that, as a reminder, everybody, you can find the show at clockradiospeakers.com.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Fourth District. That's where you can find all our episodes immediately. You can also subscribe to the show in iTunes or your favorite podcast app, and the show pops up there immediately. Follow the show on Twitter at CRS Podcast, all one word. Follow Armand on Twitter. Armand, you wanna let them know where they can find you?
At Armand Wake Up, Armond Wake Up, all one word.
And and you can follow me on Twitter as well. That's at @Doc_Beats, not a Z. The official Tinder of the show. No, I'm just kidding. The Tinder joke is only really funny if you consider that we're both too old to be using Tinder. I mean, me especially, but you actually, it's an interesting question. Armand, do you think you're too old to be using Tinder? You out there swiping for love?
Okay, so this just reminds that we need to single. Have. Yes, yeah, that's the new single, "Swiping for Love," Tinder thugging. We need to talk about that when we have our, you know, relationship theme episode around the time Marcus Graham comes out, which should be really, really soon.
Mm. Do you have a date for people?
I do. No, I have a date, but I don't have a date for people. I sure don't. Marcus Graham Wednesdays. When you hear this,
not for y'all.
When you hear this episode, the single will be out. Give You a Minute, featuring Jonathan Baker, produced by Sandman. That'll be available today, because you guys will hear this in the morning. So listen to the show, then listen to the single and all that good stuff. But you know, you'll have it soon.
Okay,
people, no worries.
You know, that people don't give up hope. It's coming.
Oh, it's definitely coming.
Okay.
It's definitely coming. It's coming very, very soon. And not rapper soon, real soon. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm too old for like Snapchat.
Oh.
If I get a headache when people try to explain an app to me, I'm too old for it. Like, do you snap? No. I only snap my fingers and do my step.
Right.
All by myself.
Right. You might snap your fingers, but that's about it.
Do we need to do a Lil Jon retro?
Yeah, I don't think enough time has passed where I can look back on it and not just, you know, want to be the stereotypical white boy who invokes Chappelle. Like, I mean, maybe that's just an interesting conversation, right? I mean, the career of Lil Jon outside, like, his career is clearly a lot more than just 2004 and Dave Chappelle, right?
Absolutely.
He was around for a while. To answer your question, I don't know. I'm not mentally prepared for a Lil Jon retro yet. That's a lot of Lil Scrappy. It's a lot of Bo. Who's the other one?
Big Sam and Lil Bo.
Big Sam and Lil Bo.
That's a lot of Sam and Bo. I just realized
that it's Sam
and Bo together is Sambo.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. As you said, Sam and Bo, I realized the same thing, and I just, y'all can't see it, but I just hung my head in shame. I was just like, oh.
Wow. Wow. Hey, hold up. Hold up. Hold up.
We got breaking news.
I think I have the latest version of Instagram. I think 6.0 has now come to my phone. Okay, well, yeah, I'll do all that other stuff. Nobody cares.
I was going to say, what does that get you?
So, it's the latest OS. It's not an overhaul like Ice Cream Sandwich and Lollipop were 4.0.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not a huge overhaul. Right.
You get some features.
Still use the material design, but it's a few things that they didn't quite get right in Lollipop. All this means is that I'm going to play around with this new OS for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then I'm going to get a new phone. Because that's really what's keeping me from getting a new phone, is I want to play with. Because I have stock Google. I have the Nexus. So to get another phone means it's going to take me a little while to get those updates. But whatever. It's cool. What are we talking about today, man? I feel like we're rambling.
We are rambling a little bit. Hopefully people don't mind. We're talking about two different things today. So, your man, The Game.
Why I gotta be my man?
has the documentary 2 and the documentary 2.5.
2.5.
I have many questions about that title. I don't think that means exactly what he thinks it means.
Okay.
But the second conversation, that'll be the first thing we're going to talk about today. The second thing we're going to talk about, we had a suggestion come from Twitter. Someone wanted us to talk about goats.
Yeah, goats.
Greatest of all time. Specifically, our choices for greatest of all time.
Listen, there is no goat besides LL.
I'm just going to let that hang there because no.
That album's dope, though.
The Goat album?
Yeah.
Mm.
That album has some joints.
Imagine that, really?
Don't do that. You're going to pick out the worst song. That's like me saying Illmatic's not classic because One Time for Your Mind's on there.
You think? No, I can guarantee you right now, Imagine That is not the worst song on GOAT.
Other than the title track, it probably is.
Anyway, so we're going to talk about not just our choices for GOAT, this being the 200th episode of Clock Radio Speakers, right? Not just our choice for who our favorite or who we think the greatest is, but I know I want to talk about GOAT producer. We could talk about GOAT album, but I think everybody knows my choice, but I think it's a conversation. But bigger than that, I want to talk about, why does hip hop care about goats?
Great question. That is a fantastic question.
So before we get to that, though, we should talk about your man, The Game. Because
now,
what's that?
Do we have to talk about him now?
Yes.
Dang it.
He has put out a lot of music over the past.
I really can't believe we're spending our 200th episode talking about The Game.
He is in.
I have no problem with The Game, just not for our 200th episode, but continue.
Considering that we're going to talk about goats and we're going to talk about hip hop's love of looking back and taking stock, no MC embodies that more than The Game. The Game is nobody's. Well, I shouldn't say that. The Game is certainly not my go. I'll put a lot of money down. He's not your choice for GOAT. But he, maybe more than any other rapper, has, I don't want to say no shame, but he will just embrace the past and nostalgia and sort of whatever, like the game doesn't really have a style so much as he will simply do a lot of various different styles, many of which you immediately get a nostalgia for. And this album, there's tons of examples of that where he's clearly like, oh, remember this song? Sometimes it's an outright sample. Sometimes it's like, hey, remember this guy? I'm going to rap like him right now. The game is sort of the embodiment of hip hop's love of the 90s and nostalgia right now.
Mm.
So I think for that alone, it's interesting to talk about this. I think it's interesting just to see, like, this guy really just came out with two separate albums. He's putting them out.
Yeah.
The tactic is arguably working.
Yeah, he's on pace to do what? 80, I heard 85 to 90,000
of the first album.
Yeah.
And the second one isn't officially out yet, but that comes out Friday.
Yep, comes out Friday.
And the fact that there's a second one coming out, I feel like people are paying attention to it because it's not a novel idea. I mean, your man Nelly. We could do a sweatsuit retro someday. No?
Listen, man, listen. Y'all. Ones who love country grammar and Nellyville and, oh, you're so, like, man, look, Nah. But go ahead. I'm letting you set all this up. Go right ahead, bro.
So we've seen double albums before. We've seen, I don't know if you, Sweatsuit was not a double album, right? It was two separate projects that you could buy independently. But this is certainly not something that people do often. And in this era of typically less is more, right? People are doing small one-off projects. They might do do this sort of quick collaboration mixtape. They might do this. The game is being a maximalist, right? He is saying, no. I'm going to give you 147 minutes and every producer associated with the West Coast that you have ever heard of. There is a lot going on these two discs combined.
Yep.
So I guess we could just really talk about it, because the only single from this was over the summer and it was 100, right?
Yeah. And that's sort of, well, first off, we both like this record, right?
Love 100.
Yeah. Record is crazy. But it sort of did not benefit, because shortly thereafter, as it began to pick up steam, is Drake and Meek Mill happened.
And people kind of forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, in terms of where it's at in this album, it's like buried.
It's very much buried. It's confusingly buried.
Well, there's a lot. I mean, clearly, there's just like, you know, too many songs. But yes, as is Cloud Creative Speakers tradition, I certainly will go track by track quickly so that Armand doesn't hang up on me on our 200th episode.
Call me back when you're done.
I'm just going to talk solo for about 45
and again,
minutes.
It's not because this is a whack album. I'm just shocked and appalled that like Game expects us. And then I'm even more mad at myself because I actually listened.
You did it. But you did
38
it.
Songs.
You did.
38 songs. Like.
I know. Well, let's talk about the first real song on here, which is On Me featuring Kendrick.
Yeah.
Produced by, and this guy produces like the vast, he produces at least half, if not more, of all these songs. Bongo the Drum God, which is a great name.
I didn't know that.
So On Me featuring Kendrick. How do you feel about On and On being sampled?
I actually, funny part was I was going to rap over On and On for Marcus Graham. So I heard it and, you know, I'm not going to front. A lot of these beats are like Armand Wake Up beats on this album.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on here where I'm like, yeah, this sounds like something I would do.
Yeah. A lot of it is like.
And one of them is like, oh, wait, I did that.
You did do that. But I actually like this record. I think this is a cool record. It's not quite The City, which was Game and Kendrick on the Red album. That intro really doesn't get the credit it deserves to me, because that song, that intro is crazy, especially when Kendrick sort of takes over at the end. But I like this record. It's cool. It's a little long.
It's a little long. I think, you know, Game definitely tried to do his Kendrick Lamar impersonation on the second half of this with his flow.
Are you talking about when they went a cappella?
Yeah. Okay. I do love the way that this song flows into the next song. And there's a couple, there's a couple different examples of that on this album where one song.
Actually, the sequencing on here is very intentional, and I have to give Game props for that.
I don't think it all works, but I agree it's intentional.
Definitely intentional.
Yeah, it's definitely intentional. I think that there you get to a problem in the middle, but we'll get there. And On Me flows into Step Up, featuring Dej Loaf and Shasha. Again, produced by Bongo. Another 90s inspired record here. This time, to me, I think this really works. I love this beat. How do you feel about it?
It's a little busy.
It's a little busy, but it kind of works for me.
I don't hate it at all.
How do you like the remake of the Brandy Hook?
I don't. This is what I... Okay, you know what's funny? Is I like it, but I don't like it.
I love it.
I hate the fact... I've never been a fan of when rappers take R&B... Or just when R&B singers sing like rappers.
Oh, when they try to get thugged out.
Yeah. I've never been a fan of thugged out R&B. Thuggin' B. Never been a fan of. But I oddly don't mind this. I actually don't like Dej Loaf on here.
I don't like Dej Loaf on anything. But
Chami was cool. She had the Degeneration X jersey on in the video. I had to respect that.
No, I really like everything about this record. I don't like Dej Loaf, but thankfully it's the outro. It's not that big of a deal. But yeah, like I love, you know, essentially remaking, you know, I Get Around essentially. But no, I love this beat. I think there's
even step in the arena. Yep.
Right. And step in the arena. Right. But the, you know, there are some cases where adapting sort of a song that worked in the 90s at a 90s tempo doesn't work so well when we're talking about the slower 2015 tempos.
Uh-huh.
And there's a great example of that coming up soon, but uh-huh. Step Up to me really works. I like this. So far I'm like, okay, we're doing all right. Don't Trip, featuring Ice Cube, Dre, and Will.i.am, produced by Will.i.am.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this record?
I want people to stop getting Dr. Dre for the phone call intro. Yo, what up? It's Dre. Why would Dr. Dre call Will.i.am to tell him that people have forgotten about him or didn't know that he... has a shoddy past, or he's really more hip hop than people give him credit for. I don't know. This song actually samples a record that Jermaine Dupri used on a Criss Cross record on their first album.
This song samples two relatively well known records.
What was the other one?
It samples Cool Like That.
Oh yeah.
And it samples Fudge Pudge.
What's Fudge Pudge?
Organized Confusion. Going way back. What song do you think it samples?
It's funny because I was just listening to Juan Epstein on OC, and it had me go back and listen to...
Yeah, OC's on that too.
Yeah, it was... because it was interesting. They said Time's Up was originally for Pharoah Monch.
Mm.
And Pharoah sat on it. And OC and Buckwild pretty much just found the sample that they used and remade the beat because Pharoah Monch wouldn't give the beat to OC.
That's funny.
Yeah, so no, it's a Chris. I can't think of the name of the record. Is it Can't Stop the Bum Rain? Something on Criss Cross totally crossed out. I know that for a fact. I just don't remember what song it is.
Right.
But you know, I like Game on this record. I think Game's rapping on this record. I think Game is rapping consistently on this album. I think we need to talk about the name dropping.
Oh my god! There are some points where I'm just like, I had to turn the song off.
There's a couple of songs that get a little crazy, but like if you, I don't know. I'm used to rappers name dropping. That's a 90s thing. Eric Sermon is way worse at name dropping in the Game.
No.
Yes.
No.
Go listen to Welcome. I want all of our listeners to go and listen to a song by Eric Sermon called Welcome. Every single bar is a name drop.
You just described every song on this album though.
Every song.
There are
name drops maybe every six at the most. 6 to 8, 10 bars or something like that.
No.
It's not every bar. Eric Sermon was every bar.
You are really underestimating the amount of name dropping going on here.
I think there's an overestimation to my actuality, realistic perception of his name. At this point, game, what is this? His like seventh album or something like that?
This is seventh album, yo.
Like, fam, like, look, the seventh album. At this point, you know what you're going to get lyrically from a Game album. I don't know why we're expecting something different.
That's possibly true. He certainly can rap, clearly.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this beat?
I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I hear that bass line, and I'm like, yeah, that's Will I Am all day.
Yeah, I hear the drums, and even the tempo is super Will I Am.
Yeah, this is definitely Will I Am beat. I'm not really a huge, I'm cool. I'm cool with this record. Yeah,
this is my jam. I just imagine, like, Will I Am didn't get on my nerves until the thing him and Justin Bieber did for the NBA.
That's what did it for you?
That's what did it for me.
I was just going to start singing that, too.
Believe it or not. That was because they played it all day all the time. During the Christmas games.
All the time.
All day. And all I did on Christmas Day was sit on my dad's couch and watch NBA.
You're just walking around mumbling. I got that power.
Oh, God, stop it. Stop it. It finally went away. Stop it.
Standing on Ferraris featuring your man, Puff Daddy.
Yeah.
Produced by Ja Lil Beats.
Oh, is that Ja Lil? Okay.
Holla at me.
Can I first, speaking of Puff.
Yeah.
Can I say that Finna Get Loose is a really, really dope record?
It's not, though.
Your butt. Do you dance?
Have you seen me? Do I look like
I
dance?
No, I haven't seen you. That's why I asked. Finna Get Loose makes me want to put on a 4X Galaxy Tall tee just so I can Harlem Shake in it. It's a great record.
It's not great.
Yes, it is.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Bring back dancing, man. Like, it's time. Like, Turn Up is cool. Like, hey, that's cool. I want to dance. Give me 90 BPMs and up. I'm there. Anyway, Standing on Ferraris,
with the Screaming Jay Hawkins sample.
I've heard. No. Come on, you got it. Come on.
What?
You got it. You can't do that.
What do you mean?
You can't be all. You can't get all docky on.
Oh, I'm getting it. Same sample as Kicking the Door.
There you go.
Everybody,
you gotta.
I gotta tell people they don't know Screaming Jay Hawkins. Remember the Pringles commercial that used it after.
That. I do remember that. I'm cool. I feel this doesn't work. I feel like it's been done before.
The beat slowed down is too slow. Like, that sample at this tempo, nope, does not work. Game's flow on the second verse is nice, but the beat's not getting it done. I don't really like the hook.
Game hits a few nice pockets flow-wise on this album.
Yeah. I'll give him that. And Puff's trying to do some slick talk on the outro, but he doesn't even really do that right. I don't know. This record does not work for me. Dollar in a Dream, an audaciously titled song, considering that it's Ab Soul being featured on it and not J. Cole. I saw the title. I was like, really? Produced by Kool and Dre. How do you feel about this record?
I keep getting told that I should listen to this record, but I can't get past the beat.
You don't like the beat?
Nah.
Oh, the beat's kind of nice.
Nah.
I'm not sure if
it should be doing something else.
I'm not sure if this is a beat for Game, but I like this beat.
Mm. So I haven't heard all the way through because I don't like the beat.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, this is like, I mean, if you got through Standing on Ferraris, but you can't get through Dollar in a Dream.
Oh, I didn't get through Standing on Ferraris either. Don't worry. I didn't hear Puff's.
Oh, you're Kelk. Come on, man.
Nope, sure didn't. Listen, I love the people and listeners of our show enough to not listen to something. You are overly dedicated. You are very, very dedicated. Me? Nah. I don't like it. I'll come back on a later episode and be like, hey.
Remember this?
Heard Standing on Ferrari 6 weeks later. I like it.
Absol's nice on it too. I'm not mad at that track at all. Made in America featuring Marcus Black, produced by Bongo the Drum God again.
Nah.
There's like 8 million Dr. Dre and Michael Jordan references on the song. What is going on? Like, it's bad enough that Game does it, but when the dude singing the hook is name dropping, we're reaching like another level.
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm straight.
I like the beat is nice, kind of, but nah, I can't get through it. This is a rough, we got a rough little sequence here. Hashtag featuring Jelly Roll, produced by Bongo and Jelly Roll.
I completely forgot about this song. I don't even know what this sounds like.
It sounds awful.
Okay.
Jelly Roll is like screaming on the song. Like,
nah. Nope.
I have no idea. I mean, I know he's got a lot of tracks to fill up, but like, no. Circles with Q-Tip, Eric Bellinger, and Shasha, produced by Bongo.
I like the beat switch on this a lot.
Yeah, the beat switch is cool. I love that going in circles sample. Too bad they don't use it more. The first half of the song is so... Oh, God. I don't... You know what it is? Like, maybe it's because I'm in, like, a good relationship. I have a happy... I got a happy life. I got a wife. I'm good. Like, I don't want to hear trite, stereotypical, overdone, pseudo-reality TV show, like, romance songs. Like, no.
I agree with that. Okay. This whole little stretch...
It's rough.
It's very interesting. And I thought between that and then even the pub that's going on with this Joe Budden album, I'm just realizing that, like, hip-hop... Loving hip-hop, like, for real, has a very tumultuous relationship. So... I'm very curious to see how Marcus Graham is going to be received because it's completely different lyrically from, you know, it's not that hip hop. We've always talked about the misogyny in hip hop.
Right.
We've never sort of talked about the layers of relationship that hip hop does not touch. You know, it's if we're honest, hip hop has very shallow.
Oh, incredibly shallow.
As far as what they want out of a relationship. And what's worse is that a lot of us pursued that and we counted that as legit and we thought that's what it was. We looked for it. We found it and it like slapped us in the face each time. So, you know, this whole stretch of songs just kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah. I mean, isn't part of that though, sort of the ongoing maturation of hip hop? Like, you know, hip hop was always sort of thought of as music for young people. Right. But and love when you're young is not as...
Well, I mean...
Multidimensional and nuanced as you think it is.
It's not. You're right. However, I'm sure I could go back to the 80s and get some records from that era that aren't as shallow as some of the records later on. I think both of those points exist.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there as well. But I also, I don't know, I wouldn't be surprised if as... And maybe I should be surprised that because this probably won't happen. But I don't know. I feel like... As the notion of sort of, you know, actual adults, meaning guys and women in their 30s and older, continuing to make hip hop.
Yep.
Like, I feel like maybe this won't be a thing in a little while, but you're right. We haven't seen a ton of it yet. And this album actually has some really bad examples.
I don't think hip hop will ever stop doing that.
You think it's just like the misogyny and the simplicity and sort of the one-sided view of what a relationship is? You think that will always exist?
Yes, wholeheartedly. I believe that will always exist. I believe that we will hear more of what you're talking about.
Right.
We'll hear more. I think that we'll hear more mature hip hop because hip hop is what, 50, 60, something like that, 50?
You think hip hop is 50 years old?
70, like late 70s, 80, right, 90, 2000.
That's like 40. That's like
okay, 40. 45, something 40, like that. Okay.
Like 40.
So it's old and what?
It's like 40, not even.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. So it's old enough.
Okay. I hear you.
It's old enough. Anyway, let's keep going.
There's a stupid skit dedicated with Future. Sounds like a Future record.
Yeah, it does. Which one's the skit? Is that the Uncle skit?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like, you know, you got a 19 track album. You don't really need a skit. but yeah, the Future song is produced by Bongo and Hit-Boy. It's it sounds like a Future beat.
It's a future record.
I mean, yeah, game, you know. And look, there's a lot of people doing this right now, right? I mean, Drake got himself a whole Future mixtape. So, like...
I want artists to get the hot artists at the time.
And make them do their style?
Yeah, stretch them.
I mean, this is a time-honored tradition, though.
It is. You're absolutely right.
I mean, I just, you know, Biggie with Bone Thugs. Even Dre and Eminem, right? Like, this has been going on forever.
Yeah.
Speaking of misogyny.
Yeah.
Chick You Ain't Ish. I will try to rename it. I've seen who it's produced by. I've seen it's produced by either Caviar, whoever that is, or I've seen in some places they say it's produced by Scott Storch of all people. But it doesn't really matter because this song is terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible content.
I couldn't get through it.
It's awful.
I couldn't get through it. I can't.
I'm not in a place in my life where I can listen to this.
I can't. Yeah, I can't.
Yeah.
Nah. No. I won't even subject myself to that.
Right. But completely switching gears, Summertime with Jelly Roll, produced by, of all people, Mike Will.
Yeah.
This sounds nothing like a Mike Will made a beat.
Ironically, I think it's one of those Lex Luger situations.
Oh, like, he's got other stuff in the stash and nobody wants it.
Yeah, when he made That Way, but people want the Mike Will sound.
Right.
I wholeheartedly believe. I think Mike Will is talented enough to do that. I'm sure he has some other stuff. I'm sure he does.
This record is dope.
I don't like the song, but the beat is crazy.
Oh, I don't mind the song.
Eh. but the beat is dope. The beat is very dope.
Moolah featuring your man, Kanye West.
That's not what I mean.
Produced by 7 Thomas, Boy Wonder, and Kanye. I like this Fantagram sample. How do you feel about this song? Yeah, you don't like it? Sounds too much like Kanye stuff right now.
It just seems like, I always wonder with these Game albums, because Game has like a DJ Khaled
sort of
history with these albums. And it just feels like, I'm sure the Game does a lot of ghostwriting. I'm sure he does. The impressions that he does on this album lets me know that he can ghostwrite for virtually anybody.
That's right.
And I feel like what he does is he'll do a record for somebody else. They'll do like 3 records. And then like one of the records that they scrap, he'll just take it.
Yeah, there's a number of records on here where I feel like they are scraps from somebody else's album.
Yeah, not just Compton either. Like,
well, there's definitely a Compton scrap or two on 2.5.
Absolutely. Yep.
But you think Moolah is a Kanye scrap?
I feel like he just came in to write for the album and then they came up with this and maybe it didn't fit with the album. So Game was like, well, can I have it? And I'm just trying to figure out why. And I'm not saying because I have no idea, but I just want to know, like, how, because you always hear about, you know, we couldn't clear this artist, the label couldn't clear this, the label couldn't da-da-da, label da-da-da. And it's just like, how do you clear all of these artists? How does Game consistently clear all these artists? Does he just have great relationships like that? If he does, great. I'm just curious.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, the number of people and producers who are on this sprawling 2-disc thing is insane.
Just an A-list and B-list. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. I mean, like, all right. So let's see. You want to talk A-list, right? So on this first disc that we're talking about right now, Drake, Kanye, Kendrick, that is the top of the A-list right now.
That alone. That's
Future.
Right, yeah.
You know, and then you want to talk about like old school legends. I mean, Dre, Cube, Puff.
Yeah,
Q-Tip,
yep.
Snoop.
Yep, that's crazy.
Yeah. Ferg. We're going to talk about, no.
Fergie Ferg.
Let's talk about Documentary 2. Oh, by the way, for the record, I like Moolah. I do.
Okay.
But Documentary 2, produced by Primo.
Yeah.
And the beat is dope.
This song is dope.
What is going on?
This song is dope. Game is rapping his behind off.
This is super boom bap rappity rap.
I feel like this was something that Primo made for Compton.
Well, then they're dumb for including that other record because this is way better.
Yo, what up? This is Doc Dre and this is DJ Premier.
Premier. Yeah, I mean, that descending piano, like, all right, I'll get really nerdy. Like, the first half of the sample is good. It's not so like
the stabs.
Yeah, but that descending piano. Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Dope.
I don't know why I like the record Pop and Chris like Rihanna and Karrueche. I don't know why I like that line. It's like it falls into that Wayne category where like Wayne will say something so simple, you're almost like mad. You want to not like it because it just sounds stupid.
And that's
dope.
3 name bars in it. Name drops in a single bar. Name bars. That's what I'm calling them.
Oh, stop it.
3 name drops in a single bar. I mean, at least it's a double entendre, but still.
Yeah, but yeah, this record is dope. This record is very dope.
Yeah. Who knew? leave it to the Game to put out a record called New York, New York, produced by Street Runner.
Yeah, this record reeks of 2005. I'm just waiting on Papoose to come out.
There's a lot of name dropping on here, but
I haven't gotten through the whole record.
Oh yeah, see, that's why you don't think there's a lot of name dropping. There's a lot of name dropping here.
The whole record, but cool. I didn't even like the way that they ended the documentary too, with the DJ Clue flex and envy drops. And
yeah, that was a little.
It was a little meh. Again, I feel it for the continuity of the sequencing and all that stuff. You're trying to tell a story, whatever story you're trying. That's cool, you know, being unique, but just nah.
You're just mad because you didn't get those drops first.
2005, Armand? Absolutely.
So a lot of the choices on here, I feel like 2005 Armand got teleported into 2015. How accurate is that?
Maybe.
We already talked about Hunter featuring Drake, produced by Johnny Giuliano and Cardo. Love this beat. One of the beats of the year, right?
Yeah, easily. Mm-hmm. Easily. I really like this. I don't think Game needed a third verse.
I agree. That is a common theme in this album.
Yeah. Is Ryan Game's trying to bring back the third verse. Unless it's absolutely, and I'm not going to say it's dead because there's two records on Marcus Graham that have three verses, but unless it's absolutely necessary.
I think part of it too depends on how long the hook is.
Yeah,
right?
True.
If you have a simplistic hook, you can get away with it. But if you're talking like 100, it's not a complicated hook, but there's the first part and then there's the second part.
Yeah.
Right. And then there's the sample play and all this other stuff. Like there's a lot of other stuff going on. You didn't really need a third verse.
Nah. I think he probably just didn't want to get draked.
Didn't want to get draked. He didn't want to feel too much like the Drake stimulus package.
Yeah. He wanted the third verse is like, now, wait a minute. This is still my song. You know, but it was unnecessary. But I say all that to say the song itself is very dope too. The beat is incredible, but the song is dope too.
Yeah. Just Another Day, produced by Bongo.
This record's okay.
Yeah, I was sort of secretly hoping he was going to sample that John Cicada record from the early 90s. You remember that? Just Another Day. You know.
I miss early 90s videos. That was like sepia tone.
Yep. There's a guy in white linen.
Yes. And there's like some girl in like a bodysuit and she's like, she's holding a white blanket and she's walking through like a beach or a desert or something.
There's still time.
There is still time. Oh, all of this is going on Kairos too.
I'm saying there's still time for Marcus Gray.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Get you some white linen, get you on the beach somewhere.
I'm nowhere near a beach. The closest beach we have is like the water that separates Detroit from Canada.
There's no beaches on Lake Erie?
I don't know. Actually, you know what? There's a few lakes. There's a few lakes and rivers around here that I could possibly. I need sand though. I can't believe I'm still in shock that you name drop. You're so lucky my phone is upgrading right now because I totally would have went into John Cicada's profile on Spotify and started playing records. Don't make me go there because I will. Anyway.
Just Another Day, you know.
I thought you were going to play Queen Latifah. I thought he was going to sample Queen Latifah. For real. And that's probably my favorite Queen Latifah song. I really thought he was going to do that.
Last record on disc one, L.A. featuring Snoop, Will.i.am, and Fergie Ferg. Produced by Will.i.am. I kind of like this beat, but I don't like anything else about this.
I've heard this sample more times than I like to. I feel like this is one of those like sound clicky samples that like a lot of sound click producers in the mid 2000s used a lot. I'm good. I'm good.
All right.
Ferg.
Let's move on to disc two.
I really can't believe you have me going track by track. And you're getting me to like
to talk about it.
I hate that.
How angry were you when you heard that he was still talking about G-Unit on the opening skit to Documentary 2.0?
Listen, there's a lot of snitching going on.
Wow, that escalated quickly.
There's a lot of snitching. Like, even, I think it was on disc one. It was on one of those songs where, like, he does, like, a RIP. Oh, I think it's at the end of New York, New York. Where, like, he starts talking about, you know, so-and-so got killed by this person on this. Like, whoa. So yeah, you told the whole, you even dropped names and stuff, like you pull some ghetto Quran stuff. Like for real. Nah, yeah, and this is the intro to the second disc?
Yeah.
And it's funny, it says featuring Stat Quo, but whoever he's talking to sound like Sway.
It is. No, Stat Quo, he, believe it or not, Stat Quo like helped executive produce this album.
I'm not surprised.
And he is listed as the quote unquote producer of this song, along with the other skits, for the most part.
Oh, so he produced the other skit on this album that makes absolutely no sense.
Oh, no, he didn't. That was Senor Bongo.
Anyway.
This New York skit I heard, and I was like, really? Really? This is what we're talking about?
In really? 2015. He's like, man, it's stupid. It's over. But if you want to know what happened, here's every single detail.
Bum, bum, bum. All right. Magnus Carlson featuring Anderson .Paak. Produced by Bongo.
Yep.
Sorry, Bongo. I did it better. beat is okay, though. Apparently, Anderson .Paak sounds the same on every song. That's
he's supposed to? He's a singer?
I don't know. It sounds like All in a Day's Work every single time.
I actually like this song.
Magnus Carlson?
Yeah.
It's cool.
I do like this song. I'm a sucker for Rocket Love.
Hmm.
One of my favorite songs ever. So it's almost like you can't mess that up.
Mm.
So, but I like the game. I like him in the game going back and forth and all that. I think that's dope.
It's okay. It's cool. Crenshaw 80s and Cocaine featuring Anderson .Paak. Produced by, talk about an interesting lineup. Fred Wreck. Travis Barker.
Yeah.
And THX.
Okay. Shout out Fred Wreck, man.
Yeah.
Yep. Definitely underrated West Coast producer.
I like this beat.
I like the second half.
There's
like the
all first. Sorts of things happening in this beat. It's a good song, though. I like this. Game's good on this.
It's a little too much in the beginning, but
there's a lot going on.
I really do like the beat switch.
Yeah.
I really, really like the beat switch.
I saw 80s and Cocaine. I was like, oh, I immediately thought to myself, oh, he's going to get Cocaine 80s. No.
Nope. Nope. No Fauntleroy.
But yeah, it's a good song.
Yeah, it's cool.
Gangbang Anyway featuring J-Rock and Schoolboy Q.
I'm good.
This beat is overdramatic.
Yeah, I'm good.
Somehow this song does not work.
This is like, this is the TDE record.
Yeah, except Bongo is doing like, he's doing impersonation of the TDE producers, and I'm like,
that's what I'm saying. This is the TDE record. Like, this just sounds like Soundwave.
Right, just bring in Soundwave, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
Bongo's probably cheaper.
I mean, there's a lot of money being spent on a lot of producers here.
Right.
The Ghetto featuring Nas and Will.i.am, produced by Will.i.am, and that combination has worked before, yeah. But it doesn't really work here.
I like Nas on this record. The record picks up when Nas gets on there, but other than that, I'm cool.
It does. I love the sax sample that slips in at times. That's crazy. But the rest of the beat, there's a lot happening, but it's not really anything to get excited about. I kind of wish the beat had more energy too, because like Nas is good on this, but I feel like, you know, Nas is the kind of rapper, you get him in a certain tempo and his flow sort of starts to do things
you can't have him too fast, you can't have him too slow.
No, you got to get him right in that zone, and this beat does not do that.
Yeah.
But his verses are cool. He got two Nas verses.
Yeah, well, Nas and Game, you know, they have a history, so I'm not surprised.
Right. This song is okay. It's 6 minutes. I mean, I know two Nas verses, but still.
Hey, you're talking to the guy who, whose album is 80 minutes and 12 seconds. I can't say anything.
From Adam, featuring your man, Dwayne Carter Jr., produced by Kool and Dre. How do you feel about this?
I don't. It just sounds like a record they've done together already.
Yeah, the beat is decent. I feel like it could have been better. I feel like for whatever reason, whatever sample they're using, I didn't even look it up.
Sounds like 2006.
It does. I feel like it could have been used better, too. I feel like they're kind of like, I don't know, it's like... they didn't fully unleash the sample, if that makes any sense. It's like it wants to be like a showy kind of beat, but instead it's just kind of there. Yeah, you're right. I mean, Kool and Dre, Wayne, Game, this sounds like 2007.
So they didn't unleash the flutes on them?
They did not unleash the best part is there's no anyway. Anyway, wait, what? you seen a commercial that uses that sample? Every time that comes on, I just want to unleash the flutes.
Unleash the flutes on them. Since I cut cable, I haven't seen commercials in a very long time. So
I think I only see it when I watch football. Gang Related featuring Asia, produced by Bongo.
I think this beat is dope.
The beat is cool. The song is filler, though.
It is filler.
Yeah, there's a lot of filler going on here. Like last time you seen, featuring Scarface and Stacey Barth. Produced by S1 and G-Coop.
Boy.
What?
This record here?
No.
Man.
No.
This is when it got to be too much.
I know. As soon as this song starts, I'm like, wait a minute. The song is about Tupac? And I'm like...
So you got a Scarface verse.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked him to rap about Tupac. Like,
and then you get a Harry O interlude in the middle.
Oh, is that Harry O?
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
Wow. Very interesting.
Yeah, I think Game is really just trying to goad Suge Knight at this point.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, I know who killed Tupac. Like, what?
This just further proves my theory. I'm pretty sure I said this when we reviewed the Kendrick album, that when Kendrick, I can only imagine the Game's face when he heard that Kendrick outro, and he immediately was like, oh man, how did I not do this first? Anyway.
Yeah, right.
This beat really isn't that great. I'm like, no, I'm good. Total filler.
Yeah.
Such a weird song.
It's a very weird song.
Where are we at? Oh, Intoxicated featuring Dion. Produced by DJ Khalil, with the return of W Balls.
Yeah, the chord progression on here is nuts.
Yeah, so the fact that this is Khalil and Dion, I'm guessing this has been kicking around Aftermath for a little while.
Mm.
It's probably hidden somewhere, because neither of these two guys are signed to Aftermath anymore, but the odds of that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I wonder how many times Game has gone to Dre and be like, what do you got lying around?
I'm sure.
Because there's one of those records coming up later on here. It's like, what do you got lying around? Anything?
Anybody?
I want to hear you talk about Quick's Groove.
Woo!
Featuring Quick.
Man.
Produced by Quick, obviously.
Produced by Quick. Who else is on here?
Seven Streeter and Mika?
Yeah. So I don't get excited for track listings anymore just because I come from the school of, you know, like that used to be a really big thing in the mid 2000s on the internet. But I got excited when I saw this.
Mm.
And I was like, yes. So the beat is classic Quick. Game is doing his best Sugar Free impression, which just.
Yeah, it's. You know. I picked up on that. And I'm not even, you know, I was like, oh. I mean, the thing is, though, like it proves that Game, when he wants to rap, like in a certain flow, he can. Like he is. Always been very technically capable.
Absolutely.
But
I hate the hook.
Mm.
I hate the hook.
Ooh.
The hook ruins the song for me. And I like Quick on here. I think Quick is dope.
Yeah, the song is cool. It's for Quick in 2015. Yeah, this sounds like Quick. I mean, this is not like his top stuff in the 90s, but you know, I shouldn't expect that. Right.
Yeah, I'm not expecting that.
Outside featuring E-40, Marcus Black, and Lil E, produced by Travis Barker, doing a DJ Mustard impression.
Right.
How you feel about this?
I'm good.
Yeah, the beat is cool, but eh.
I'm just good on these records.
Up on the Wall, though, produced by Battle Cat.
Yes.
With Problem, Ty Dolla, and YG.
Yeah, this record is dope.
Yeah, this record works. Like, Game is really bringing out the entire West Coast.
Yep.
On this project. Fred Reck, sugar free impersonations, Quick, Travis Barker, Battle Cat. I'm like, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really good to see Battle Cat.
Mm.
So, yeah, man.
Stupid skit. I'm not even going to say the name of it.
Yeah, that skit is terrible.
Awful. And a completely overstuffed double-sided song. Produced by DJ Mustard, My Flag and the Homies, with Ty Dolla $ign, J305, and like five other people, including Mitchie Slick. Talk about bringing everybody out.
Right.
This is the this could have kind of worked a little bit. I get what he's trying to do, but the problem is like neither of these Mustard beats are great.
Yeah, they're very standard Mustard beats, which
right.
is weird because
like this is supposed. This is like so. This is a you know supposed to be a West Coast like you know posse cut basically.
Yeah, it must have could have went different.
Yeah,
can go different, but yep. It's like, and I would figure that Game of all people would ask for a different type of Mustard beat because I feel like he could rock on it, but he just didn't.
Right.
Yeah, neither of the, it's a long, it's, there's a lot of stuff going on here. There's like a ton of verses, and I don't know, none of this really works to me. Moment of Violence featuring the Aftermath crew, aka King Mez, Justice, and John Connor, produced by the Futuristics and DJ Khaled, I think.
This just reeks of,
this is, I mean, this has to be a Compton throwaway, right?
It has to be.
The song is okay.
Nah.
You're just like, nah.
Nah, once I heard it was like a Compton vibe, I'm just like, I'm straight.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You know, Compton was supposed to really clearly kick off the careers of King Mez, Justice, and John Connor, but...
Was it?
Well, that's the theory, right? Does any... I mean, yeah. I mean, King Mez, you know, we'll see if he can make a little, get a little online buzz for whatever he does in his BET cypher, but in general, like, nobody's talking about these guys at all.
Well, nobody's talking about Compton.
Yeah. Have you listened to it at all?
Nah.
I haven't either.
Nah, not because it was bad either. It's just, again, 2015 is the year of a lot of people releasing music with absolutely no replay value.
Mm.
Very few albums have made it past outside of the month that they were released in.
I feel like they're not even pushing this or trying.
Yeah, and it seems like it's aided. You just don't hear about albums after a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, like, I thought that they would, you know, it looked like they were going to push that Eminem song as a single. Like, there was nothing. There's been nothing from this album.
I forgot about that Eminem single.
Huh. Right, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just into the ether. Like Father, Like Son 2, featuring Big Bang Busta Rhymes.
Whoa.
Produced by Alchemist.
Yeah, that was odd.
And Bongo.
That was odd.
This is not an A+ Alchemist beat.
I just don't like the song. I as a dad, I can like enjoy the concept. Like, right. Oh, he gets older, you got the son, that's cool, but nah.
Yeah, we gonna hear your kids
you might
talk rapping a little bit.
You might hear something. They got a couple songs in the tuck.
Yeah, you ghosting or are they bringing bars?
A little both. helping out. No. It's a collaboration. but yeah, I don't like, and then Busta Rhymes just sounds very, very tired.
Oh no. Yeah, I mean, so he's trying to redo the hook from the original, which I didn't realize that song needed a sequel. I think they did it just because their kids are older now, but like, I don't know. The song's okay, I guess. Yeah. How you feel about Life, produced by Tone Mason?
Woo!
I know you like that sample.
You know I'm a sucker for samples like this. I'm a sucker for samples. So
beat is cool. Beat is cool.
Beat is dope. Game is rapping.
Yep.
I like this record. I like this record. This record got a lot of repeats out of me.
Mm. Yeah, I know. As soon as I heard that sample, I was like, oh.
I skimmed through this album and was like, wait, what? Yeah. Which actually led me to actually listening to the whole album. Right, so I wasn't going to listen to this album. But yeah, this record is dope. I like this record a lot.
Have you heard the bonus track?
What's the
bonus track? El Chapo.
I heard it a few weeks ago. It was really loud.
El Chapo, produced by Bangladesh and Skrillex.
Yeah, so I heard a lot of good things about, like, yo,
it's
Game,
it's,
got one with El Chapo.
It's dope. That beat is crazy.
So there's just a lot going on.
It works though. There's a lot going on, but it's not too much. No, that beat. That beat is hard. You thought it was just too noisy?
Yeah, it's just a lot going on.
That makes you sound really old.
Yeah, hey, I'll be that.
Okay.
I'll be old. It's cool.
All right. So we just went track by track on a lot of the Game stuff. So first of all, from an artistic point of view, I would tell you, obviously, he needs to cut this into a single album. But I think he's sort of oddly tapping into something here. Where like, so let's say he makes, you know, he only makes one album out of this. Well, what does he do with all the rest of these tracks?
SoundCloud?
Right. And instead, he's going to get people to pay for all these tracks.
Yeah.
Because he's using sort of the audacity of it, the sort of overstuffed, you know, Documentary 2 and then Documentary 2.5. Wouldn't Documentary 2.5 be the, like, sort of combined, like, version of all that? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, right. Like 2.1?
Right, yeah. Right.
I don't know.
In a weird way, for some fans I've seen talking online, like it seems like he's sort of making it feel like an event.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's not, but he's trying. And some people are into that. They're like, oh, wow, we get another game album. And I'm like, yes, you get another game album.
Yep.
With a lot of filler.
Yep. Yep. But I think Game has a strong enough fan base.
He does. He does.
To sustain that. He has a really nice core following.
Right. And for them, they're like, oh, yeah.
Give it to us. Give us all 38 tracks. We'll take it.
And you got any more?
Yeah, got any. Exactly. Got any more. You know, I think nowadays, and there was a really interesting conversation, Joe Budden's interview on The Breakfast Club, where, you know, DJ Envy was telling Joe he felt like Joe wasn't really working as hard as he could. So he's like, and his reasoning was, well, I don't really see you post your music on Instagram like that. So it was kind of a stupid argument, but Joe's retort was, you know, because Envy was like, do you even tour, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, I've been able to sustain myself. This is my 13th album because of my core following. Right. So you've got a lot of artists who are now starting to catch on to that and really cater to their core following. And believe it or not, whether we like it or not, I feel like this album caters to Game's core audience.
Mm. I wouldn't disagree with that. I think that's about right. I think Game is he is certainly somebody who has adapted very well to the sort of this new reality of how music is marketed, sort of this relationship with your fans. Like to me, and I think this just makes me old, I'm like, no, I don't want all this. Give me your best. Like, what are your best 12 to 15 songs?
Well, and for some of us, we kind of have to make that decision ourselves, right?
Well, and Game is sitting there going, no, I'm going to give all this stuff to you, and I'm going to release them on separate weeks, and there's probably going to be some bonus tracks, and we're going to do this. And it's just like, it's, you know, in the era, in the MP3 era, where like really the point of an album is just what? It's a delivery mechanism, right? Like,
yeah.